I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be the house of God this morning. This morning I have chosen to speak to you concerning one word for title. The word is praise. I guess it was last Sunday, I shared some books with you, Prison to Praise. Would like to speak a little more on that. So I looked in the scripture concerning the word praise. I found two words in the Hebrew that were translated into praise from the Hebrew words. One of those definition of that is to revere or worship with extended hands. And I had to think of when we're in prison ministering there, a lot of times we sing Amazing Grace. And at the end of the last verse, the inmates a lot of times like to sing Praise God. They just repeat the words Praise God over and over again in tune to Amazing Grace. And a lot of the inmates will do this as we sing that, you know. And I guess that could be a form of what this Hebrew word is talking about, worshiping God with extended hands, you know, reaching out to God. Another word, it's a little different bodily form, that is to kneel or to kneel as an act of adoration. And, you know, I think we can do that when we pray in our closet. We can kneel as an act of adoration of praise to God, of who He is. I've divided this message, if I can get through it, into four parts. First part is who to praise. Second part is when to praise. Third part is how to praise. And the fourth part is why to praise. I have that all, four parts. First of all, I'd like to look at who to praise, which I think we pretty much know that. In Psalm 29, it says, "To give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." And the word Lord would mean Jesus. Brother Mike talked to us this morning out of 1 John 1, where it talks about having fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So I believe, as we believe in a Trinity, there are some people that believe in a Jesus only. But I had to think of a customer that Ralph was talking with here some time ago. We had been working on a mission vision statement for the church as a team. And I think Ralph had mentioned something to him about us working on that. And this customer said, well, he said, you for sure need to have something in there about the Trinity. You know, he firmly believes in the Trinity. And we believe that the Bible gives us a glimpse of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, just because we don't understand all that, how, you know, one can be three or how three can be one, doesn't mean that we should try to explain away that we have a Trinity God, a triune God, because that the Bible does talk about that, and I won't go into detail on that this morning. I guess that could be a message in itself about our triune God. But that is who we are to praise, is our triune God, God the Father, the God who loves us as a father. He takes us into his arm. He supplies our needs, our Savior, the Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave his life on the cross for our sin, the one who gave the invitation to come unto him when we're weak and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. The one who is prophesied of him that he is a wonderful, the counselor, the almighty God, the Prince of Peace. And then the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said that, you know, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he said, the Comforter will guide you into all truth. And he will teach you of all things. There's another phrase that Jesus said about the Comforter. He will dwell in us. And that is the God, that the one we are to praise this morning. Now I would like to look at when to praise. In Psalm 113:3, it says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So from the time we get up in the morning, you know, even if you're not a morning person, And that book, Prison to Praise, talks about how that God taught this Merlin Carruthers how to praise God and to thank him when he wakes up in the morning. And, you know, for me, it's not as hard. I mean, yeah, I do struggle sometimes in getting up, but I am probably more of a morning person than a lot of people are. So it's easier for me to praise God in the morning maybe than it is in the evening when I'm tired and I'm ready to go to bed and sleep. But that's what the psalmist is saying here, that we should praise God from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And we could go more into detail on that. It says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, so whatever we do, that we are praising God. And I think that could also entail not just the things that we say, but also the things that we do, that our actions would bring honor and glory to God, would praise God. Psalm 52:9, it says, I will praise thee forever. Now, we're not going to be here forever, but as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we will be with the Lord forever, so we can praise the Lord forever through eternity. In Acts 3, we have the account of the lame man that was sitting at the gate of the temple when Peter and John came there to go into the temple to pray, and this man fastened his eyes on them. He looked earnestly on them, and Peter's asked, you know, what can we do for you? And the man looked on them. He was hoping to get some money. But Peter said, I don't have any money. I don't have any silver or gold, but I'm going to give you what I have been given. He said, and I think he extended his hand maybe, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it says that his feet and ankle bones immediately received strength, and the man stood up, and it says he was walking and leaping and praising God. And, you know, I think that is a time of that we should praise God, is when we have been miraculously healed from something. Praise God for his goodness. In Psalm 40, we have the psalmist saying that he waited patiently for the Lord, and that the Lord inclined unto him, and he heard his cry. And he says, he brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he said, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. So when we are set free, when we're delivered from the horrible pit, you know, and I think all of us here who have made commitments have to the Lord Jesus Christ have experienced that. When we have cried out to Jesus, when we were in sin's bondage, we were in that horrible pit, we were in that miry clay, and we couldn't get free. We had no way out, and we cried out to the Lord. And he reached down and he lifted us out of that. And he set our feet on himself, on a rock, and he established our goings. And he put that new song and that praise in our mouth. You know, that's even more wonderful than what the man experienced at the gate of the temple when his feet and ankle bones received strength and he got up and he was walking and leaping and praising God. You know, so maybe it would be in order sometimes to get a little more lively when we are rejoicing in our salvation and the goodness that God has done for us and what Jesus has done for us in setting us free. Psalm 42:5, it says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So when we don't understand life, when things look dark and dim and we don't understand, our soul is disquieted, maybe we're depressed, we're discouraged, that is a time to praise God. And I had to think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, where he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's in 2 Corinthians, actually, 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 7. What I just quoted there, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So it's always a good time, you know, when we are disquieted, when we're in despair and discouraged, to praise God. You know, in despair, we're perplexed, but not in despair, is what Paul says, but we give praise to God. In Acts 16, 25, we have the account of what Paul and Silas did when they had been beaten, and they were put into the inner prison, and they had put their feet in stocks. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it says the prisoners heard them. And we know the story of how that there was a great earthquake, and the prison was shaken, the doors were open, and how that God delivered them from that. And so when we're in prison, and we're miserable, and we're hurting, it's a good time to praise God. In 2 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So it doesn't matter what the thing is that God has allowed. I have to think of Job. You know, when everything was taken from him, he said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was blessing God. It would be hard to do. But God enabled him to bless God. God enabled him to continue trusting him. So in everything, whatever it is, he says, give thanks to God. In Romans 5, first three verses, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." So I didn't look up the definition of the word tribulations, but that would be, you know, something that is painful. Something is not pleasant, we don't like. And he's saying that we glory in tribulation. A couple other words could be used for the word glory would be we boast. In other words, as the psalmist says, "My soul shall make her boast of God." We rejoice in God would be another word, or we joy when we're in tribulations. We praise God. We thank him for that. Maybe not necessarily for the dire circumstances, but for the privilege that we have of going through that. Okay, the next part now is how to praise God. The psalmist says in Psalm 9, verse 1, he says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart." So with everything that we have, with our whole being, with our whole heart, we'll praise God. And I think another way to praise God would be with an honest heart. You know, sometimes maybe we could make flattering words to God, if that's possible. You know, we can flatter another person, say things about the other person that are not true. But when we talk about God and we say things that are true about God, you know, maybe we can't necessarily flatter God, but we can say things that we don't really mean with our heart. We're not being honest. I think we should tell God how we're feeling. I think we should tell God how the tribulation and the pain and things make us feel. And we should talk about that, be honest and open with God. But do it from our heart. With our whole heart. Put our whole heart into it. And as God says, when you seek for me with all of your heart, he says, I will be found of you. In Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12, he says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." What does he mean by my glory? To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. Several other translations would change that to my soul. That my soul may sing praise unto thee. So I think it should be from our soul, from our inner being, from the seat of our emotions, and maybe that would be more the heart. But we're taught that we consist of body, soul, and spirit. And I don't have a real good definition of what all that is or how that is. But here he is saying that my glory or my soul may sing praise to thee. So it should come from within, maybe even deeper than our heart. And John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, Jesus said that God is his spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I think that would also apply to praise. God is his spirit, and they that praise him must praise him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, worship God or praise God with your heart, with your soul, and with your spirit, with everything you have. All that is within me, as the psalmist says in Psalms 103, all that is within me, bless the Lord. Praise Him, bless Him with your whole being. Okay, the next part now is why to praise. Psalm 33:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Some other translations would define the word comely a little different. They would say it's suitable, or it becometh the upright. It becometh us as people of God to praise God. Or praise befits the righteous, the upright. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. And I like this last one. I forgot what translation this was, but it says, "Praise from the upright is beautiful." Now, does God think you're beautiful? I think He does. And God loves when we praise Him with our whole being, from our heart, our soul, our spirit. He says in Psalm 139, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We should praise Him because of how He created us. That's why we praise Him, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. His works are marvelous. Psalm 34:1 again. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And then the next verse he says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." So I believe that's another reason to praise, is so that others will hear the praise to God, and they will be inspired, and they will be encouraged, and they will also praise God. And it has a going out, a reaching out effect. It's kind of like, when in the early church, and when Satan tries so hard to stamp out the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it seemed like the harder he tried to stamp that out, the faster it grew. And I think that's a little bit the way it works with praise. It has that multiplying effect, that mushroom effect where it blooms out and it goes out. I believe that's what God wants. In Psalm 40, the verse that I already read, he says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth after it was lifted out of the pit, even praise unto our God." He says, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Another reason why to praise is so that others will see the praise, they will hear of it, and they will also cry out to God from their sin's bondage and will fear God and will trust in Jesus as their Savior. 2 Thessalonians 5:18 again, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." It is God's will that we praise. This is God's will. God wants us to be a joyful, a happy people. Jesus said, that "I have spoken these things unto you that your joy may be full." And John wrote what Mike read this morning, that your joy may be full. "I've written these things unto you that your joy may be full." God wants us to have fullness of joy. God wants us to praise. He doesn't want us to be questioning Him and doubting. He doesn't want us to be cast down and discouraged. He wants us to praise. He wants us to be happy in Him. Ephesians 1:6-12. He says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." To praise of the glory of His grace. What is the definition of grace? Some people define it as God's riches at Christ's expense or unmerited favor. Do we deserve God's grace? Absolutely not. But that is a reason why we should praise. It should show the grace, the wonderfulness of the grace that God has given to us. That we should be to the praise of His glory. That is why we should praise. In 1 Peter 2:9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a royal priesthood. Ye are a holy nation. Ye are a peculiar people. And therefore, we should show his praises. We should show forth his praises because of who we are in Christ. It is not because of who we are, because we are carnal. We have the old man, we have the carnal nature to deal with. But in Christ, we have the new man. We are created, as the Bible says, the new man is created in true righteousness and holiness. And therefore, we should show forth his praises unto the glory of God. We are no longer children of darkness and children of the night, but we are children of light and of the day. We are children of salvation. Another reason why to praise is, and that comes from the book, Prison to Praise, is in order to have victory. And I'd like to draw from an account in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is while Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. The children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and some other people came to invade Judah. Jehoshaphat was afraid. And it says he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek from God. You know, what do we want to do? And it says what do we need to do here? And he proclaimed a fast throughout the nation, throughout Judah. In verse 15, this was after the Spirit had come upon a prophet and he had prophesied. The word from the Lord was, God says to you, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed because of this great multitude. He said, because the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. And, you know, so many times we may go into battle, we may go into temptation, we may go into tribulation or some hard thing that we have to go through in life, and we look at it as a battle was ours, but it's not. The battle is always the Lord. Who is our enemy? The devil. Satan is our enemy. He is the one that wants to destroy us. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said that he has destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus has won the victory already. The battle is the Lord's. You know, when we go into battle thinking that the battle is ours, we're setting ourselves up for defeat. But when we go into the battle with praise and we know that the battle is the Lord's and the Lord has already won the victory, there really is no battle. Satan can't stand before truth. I'd like to look here what these people did. He said in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20, he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And that's what we have here. We have the Word of God. Believe what God says here. That we are more than conquerors. That he loves us. That Christ is in us. That Christ is our righteousness. That we have nothing to offer ourselves. Of ourselves we can do nothing. And we go into battle with that. The battle is the Lord's. And it says, "Ye shall prosper." And he says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, human reasoning would have said, I'll send out my best men first, my best fighting men first, and I'll have these singers back here somewhere behind the army. But Jehoshaphat didn't do that. He believed what God said when God said the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. And he put his singers, defenseless men, in front of the army. And he sent them out. Because he believed God. It says that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They had faith that God would take care of this situation. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And that's what happens to Satan, our enemy. When we begin to praise God, and we begin to, you know, send out the defenses, if we recognize our defenses, as we there's no way we can defend ourselves against this enemy, and we are believing God, we are trusting God to take care of this, God destroys our enemy for us. It says, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another." They all turned against each other. And can you just see Satan's demons doing that? As God brings them to confusion, they don't know who the enemy is anymore, maybe. They don't know who they're fighting against. They're all in confusion. And it says, "When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." You know, that's how Satan becomes to us, when the battle is the Lord's, so we give the battle over to the Lord, when we praise him and we believe him. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much." And in verse 30, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." See what praise did? They didn't lift a finger to fight a battle. All they did is they sang praises to God. And I believe that's the way it works for us. If we have faith, if we have that kind of faith in our God, we have the same God. And Satan is defenseless before God and his truth. I'd like to close with this verse out of Psalm 150. He says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Let's kneel to pray.